Sin is something that is always a problem for us, even as Christians. And of course, we know that, at least in theory. We know that we are sinners. But unfortunately, we so often make excuses for our own sin. We are quick to point out the sins of other people, to talk about how bad their sins are, but we're just as quick to downplay our own, to make excuses for them so they don't seem quite so bad. We're tempted to say that your sin is terrible, but I just messed up a little bit. We're tempted to say, you meant what you did, but I just made a little mistake here and there. We're tempted to say, you're evil, but I'm pretty good. I just have a few mistakes. But in this way, we are tempted to make our sins into something less than what they actually are. And that can lead us to make excuses even for very serious sins, to tolerate things that even the world doesn't want to tolerate, all because we think we're not so bad in our own eyes. The Corinthians in our epistle reading for today certainly felt this way. The congregation in Corinth were making all kinds of excuses for their sins, trying to show why they weren't that bad. They were convinced that they were in the right. They were convinced that nothing was wrong. They even thought they were doing the right thing. They were doing something God-pleasing by tolerating such sins among them. But in reality, it was a very serious problem. Well, let's use one example. Some in the congregation at Corinth were participating in the worship of idols. Paul warns them against this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, when he says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." So some in the congregation were convinced that they could still do this, that they could go to this false worship and still be a Christian, that there was no danger for them whatsoever. And the reason why they were doing it, well, I mean, there were several. On the one hand, in those days, if you wanted to eat meat, it's not like you could just go to the freezer and pull something out. They didn't have that. It was always a special occasion when meat was eaten. And because it was a special occasion, that meant that religion had everything to do with it. You couldn't eat meat unless it had been sacrificed to a pagan god. On the other hand, another reason was because it was part of their job in many cases. Their job included worship. It included religion as part of it. And if you didn't participate in that worship, if you didn't go along with what everyone else was doing, you might be passed over for promotion. Or worse, you could even be fired. And of course, there was always the reason that, well, people would talk about you if you didn't do it. And so there was this pressure to go along with it, this pressure to just do as everyone else is doing. And some of the Corinthians were going along with it, convinced that it was okay to do this, that there was nothing wrong with this. But it was a very serious problem. Another example of what was going on in Corinth was that some of them were suing each other in court. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers." So in other words, instead of trying to fix all of their problems as Christians within the church, they were bringing lawsuits against each other. They were taking church problems before pagan courts and trying to get a settlement that way. because they didn't care about their Christian brother. They cared about what was belonging to them. They cared what was coming to them. And they were going to get it no matter what. They were like a family fighting with each other. But instead of talking to each other to try to fix these problems, they talked to everybody else. But they were convinced that this was okay, that there was nothing wrong with what they were doing. But it was a very serious problem. And the one last example of what they were doing was probably the worst thing of all, that one of the members in the congregation was actually fallen into a very serious sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. So one of the members of the congregation was sleeping with his mother-in-law. And the Corinthians didn't see anything wrong with this. Even the pagans saw it for what it was. Even the pagans thought that it was something evil. And if the unbelievers thought that it was evil, that shows you just how bad it actually is, because the unbelievers set the bar extremely low when it came to sexual ethics, when it came to sexuality. If they thought it was bad, it was really bad. But the Corinthians didn't think it was a problem. They thought that it was even a good thing for them to tolerate this in their midst, because it showed how loving they were. It showed how forgiving they were. It showed how good of a Christian they actually were by tolerating this great sin. But it was a serious problem. And so in all of these ways, then, they were making excuse after excuse for their sins to show why things were okay. And they, at the end of the day, they said, well, we're still Christians. We're still going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. We are still going to be just fine because it isn't so bad. But it was a very serious problem. And so Paul warns them, and Paul warns us too, to not make excuses like this for our sins. Because if we make excuses, Christians, we may very well fall under the same judgment as the rest of the world. These sins will keep us out of heaven. Why, we might ask? Because this is not who we are. This is not who we have been created to be. And we are something different from the world. We are something separate from the world. So we should not make these kinds of excuses for our sins, but confess them and live as the Christians that we have been called to be. Because think about what Paul says in our reading, verses 9 and 10. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Think about that for a minute. And ask yourself, how might a Christian make excuses for any one of these sins? Someone who is committing sexual immorality, a sexual sin of any kind, for example, might say, I couldn't help it. I was driven to it in the heat of the moment. And besides, I'm not so bad. I'm not like all of those other people out there who do far worse things. So it's not so bad. An idolater might say, I still believe in God. I still go to church on Sunday morning. So it doesn't matter if I don't pay attention to what God wants me to do the rest of the week, because it's not so bad. An adulterer might say, I was lonely. I had to do something. I needed something more that I wasn't getting at home. So it's not my fault. Someone who is dealing with homosexuality might say, as I'm sure you've heard someone say, oh, I was born this way. Maybe even say, God made me this way. So it's okay. A thief might say, it's just a little thing. They're never going to notice this one little thing. And besides, they have too much money anyway. So it's okay. I can do this. Someone who is greedy might say, all I want is a little bit more. All I want is something to treat myself. All I want is something, you know, just that little extra. So what difference does it make? Someone who is a drunkard might say, well, I don't do it that often. And when I do, I don't get out of control. So it's not so bad. Someone who is a reviler might say, someone who uses abusive language, well, they're idiots. They deserve it. So I'm not going to go back on anything that I said. And a swindler might say, I didn't do anything that was technically illegal. So it's not so bad. But do you see what's happening with each of these? Do you see how it takes the sin and tries to make it into something smaller, to make it into something that's even good, even justified, because it calls something other than what it actually is. And so when we are quick to point out the sins of other people and talk about how big those sins are, far too often we are too slow to say the same thing about our own. But excuses don't change the reality, Christians. Excuses don't change the fact that they are still sins. And those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what Paul says here in verse 11. He says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. He doesn't say, it's not present tense, it's past tense. He doesn't say, such are some of you. He says, such were some of you. Because this is not who you are anymore, Christians. This is not who you are today. You used to be like that. But not anymore. Because something has changed. Something is different now. You are something new. This is why Paul says, such were some of you, but you used to be like this, but you used to think like this, but. Well, but what? But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, you have changed. Because of the Spirit within you, you are now something new. You are no longer bound to those things. You are no longer obligated to do those things the way the world does. You can turn away from them. You can stop doing these sins because of Jesus Christ. You are free, free to walk in the truth, free to turn away from sin because you are Christians through Jesus Christ our Lord. And think about what all those things that Paul says means. You were washed. Washed in the waters of holy baptism. In your baptism, God made you new. In your baptism, God set you free. In your baptism, you are no longer bound to your sins. You can stop those sins because of what Jesus has done for you in baptism. Baptism is not an excuse for more sins, but it is the way out of those sins so that you can find freedom in God. And you were sanctified, set apart from the world, made different from the world, made holy like God. So that God not only set you apart from the world, he continues to make you holy, to make you holier and holier, just like Jesus. So that the more and more we become like Jesus, the more and more we turn away from our sins. You are holy, Christians, because God is holy, and God makes you holier still in Jesus. And you were justified. You are no longer condemned because of your sins. Jesus died to forgive you. Jesus took all of your judgment upon himself. Jesus rose so that you would live with him. And if Jesus is alive, Christians, why would we turn back to sin? If Jesus is alive, and we are alive in him, why would we go back to death? We have been set free, made new because of what Jesus has done for us. So don't make excuses for sin. Don't try to make them into something less than what they actually are. No one is going to get into heaven because their sins aren't as bad as someone else. But rather confess those sins. Don't try to make them smaller, but confess them for the terribleness that they are. Say, Lord, yes, I have sinned. I have offended you. I have done what is wrong in your sight. And I don't deserve anything from your hand. But Jesus has given himself for me. Jesus has died so that I may live. And I pray that you would forgive me for his sake. And then as baptized Christians, let us turn away from our sins. Because in Jesus we are able to live a new life. We are able to live a godly life because of the Holy Spirit. Don't make excuses. Confess your sins, and you will find forgiveness, freedom, and life in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, because of our sins, we deserve your judgment. But we pray that you would forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to look upon us not as our sins deserve, but upon us through your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.